headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about your life and your money. It's a free call at 888-825-5225. It is free, and some say the advice is worth exactly what you pay for it. So jump in here. We'll hang out together and solve all of life's problems. You can call and ask our opinion. We are an expert on our opinion. We know what's happening with that. So jump in here. Let's talk. 888-825-5225. Melissa's going to start this hour in Indianapolis. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. I'm really excited to talk to you guys. Hi, Jade.
How are you?
Good, thank you. So my husband and I have five kids, and we're on baby step seven. Woo!
Woohoo!
And but I share my four oldest kids with an ex-husband, and we have a current court order that says we would each claim two kids on our taxes. But my ex's income has gone up significantly over the past several years and continues to go up. And I found out recently that he told me he's being phased out of the child tax credit and probably won't benefit from actually claiming the kids in the next couple of years. And so I was wondering if it would be worth the hassle for me to, pursue getting permission from the court and all of that for me to claim all the kids myself, or if I should just let that go.
Well, I mean, it's worth some money. The question is, how much is it going to cost to fool with it? If your attorney, if you guys can order, can agree to this, both of you sign off on it, your attorney could just file with the court an agreed order.
Right. So
it should not be complicated.
It shouldn't. The reason that I even, had mention of it and knew about it was because I received this email from my ex who said, hey, I just thought I might, reach out to you and see maybe in 2023, you could claim all the kids. I'll just let you claim all the kids. And in exchange, then, whatever the child tax credit is for that year for those two kids that you'd be claiming of mine, then we would decrease the child support by the same amount.
Why would you bother?
Exactly.
And you can stay home and break even.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I don't get how this is helpful. It's just a favor to him at that point. I mean, it's okay if you want to do him a favor.
Yeah.
It helps him, but it helps you zero.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what I figured, and it doesn't.
I mean, mathematically, you follow me?
Right.
Yeah, you're going to get the credit, but he's going to reduce it by that amount, so you're going to end up with exactly the same amount of money when the smoke clears, and he's going to end up with more money.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily help the kids.
It doesn't affect the kids at all.
For them at all. So.
Yeah. I'm guessing this is a pattern he has lived his life by. I win,
for
you
sure.
Lose.
For sure. Which is why I saw the email and thought, well, he's definitely not going to be helping me out. So that's very suspicious. Like, what do you really want? What do you get out of this?
What does
so
he really want?
He wants money. This improves his financial situation.
Well, I'm being phased out. So therefore, I thought this would be more fair. And then, I would get to keep the state tax.
I mean, you can run the numbers on it and figure out how many dollars it actually amounts to in your all's life. You could offer to split it with him instead of him being the only one benefiting. If it's even worth it, if that even pays the court cost to file the agreed order.
Right. But the other thing I thought was I could offer to go ahead and file all of them for me and claim them, but then put whatever extra money I get into, like toward college costs or something, because our oldest is now 15. She's a sophomore.
Well, that would be a fair offer. But either way, you need to benefit enough that that you net, if you have to put it all into college and it reduces what he has to put into college, then no, you're just paying his bill for him.
Right.
And you're doing his work for him again, carrying his water for him again. So, no, I mean, he needs to benefit half of this. You need to benefit half of it. And it needs to be worth it to file the order, the actual savings. It may not be worth it when you add it all up and then look at the legal cost. It's probably just don't screw with it, is my guess. But it might be enough. I forget, what is the child tax credit? Did you look it up? I don't even know.
For 2023, it's $2,000 per kid. Yeah, which is why he was saying,
$4,000 tax savings. Yeah, so if you got $2,000, he got $2,000, cost you $500 to do the order, then that's fair.
Yeah.
You get nothing, he gets $4,000. No, thank you.
Well, the first way you said it sounded like a good idea, but then when you added in the part that he was going to reduce,
right,
that then I said, I don't know.
Yeah, then we just go, yeah, there's a pattern here. I mean, it's okay, but if you just want to do him a favor. But that's it. Usually in these situations, there's more to the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. All right, Charlene's in Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Charlene, what's up?
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
Yes, I'm wondering, I am in, you know, close to $250,000 of medical school education debt, and I also have an auto loan. I paid off all my credit cards. I'm on baby step two, so I'm working on, you know, paying off my debt. I have $1,000 in savings. I'm sticking to my budget. But my question is, I'm just worried about not investing and not saving because, you know, paying off my school loans is going to take me several years probably. So I'm just like, is it really smart to only have $1,000 in my savings? If an emergency happens, I don't know if that's going to be enough if I don't have a credit card to, like, lean on.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
How long, if you get crazy, because you're on baby step two, how long is it going to take you to pay off $250,000 of student loans?
I calculated it, and if I'm, like, really good and stick to my budget, I can probably do it in 5 years.
5 years?
What is your income?
$195,000.
You're wussing.
Are you single?
You're wussing.
I am. I'm single, no children, and I don't own a home.
I'm with
you
Dave.
You can only pay off $50,000 out of a $200,000 income.
Yeah, I'm with Dave.
Wimpy!
You got to cut it down.
You're killing me. I can only live on $150,000. You're killing me.
Look, now is the time to get this done. You're unattached. You don't have kids. There is no reason in the world that you can't get scorched earth on this.
Well,
2 years.
You get to do this in 2 years.
You get to do this in 2 years.
I think you need to flip it. Right now, you're only paying off $50,000 a year at that rate. You need to be living on $50,000 a year and put the rest towards this.
2 years.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. But no life. No life. You gave up your life when you went to med school.
Here's the thing. If you keep making,
I do love to travel.
Yeah, I know.
If you keep making
a lot of stuff
with my friends,
if you keep making excuses why you can't do more, do you want to know what you're going to look up in 5 years and you're still going to have this debt? It's got to be more painful for you to stay like this than it is for you to change.
You a doc?
Right.
Are you an MD?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. What's your you have a specialization?
Yeah, I'm a pediatrician.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. All right, good. Well, your income's not going to go shooting through the roof then, but you're probably going to see some increases. And Charlene, you are a person who knows how to delay pleasure for a win.
Mm-hmm.
We know that about you because you actually went all the way through med school. That's delaying pleasure for a win. Now you get to do it again. Delay pleasure for a win. Go live on nothing and clean this. The faster you clean this up, the richer you're going to be. The faster you clean this up, the less stress you're going
to
have.
And
the faster you clean this up, the more you're going to like the person in the mirror. I would cut it to nothing. No, nothing. No eating out, no travel, no nothing. Get out of debt. That's what I would do. Hey, if you're a new listener and you want to dive deeper into this Ramsey Baby Steps, all this behind-the-scenes talk, debt snowballs, all these things we talk about, click on Get Started at RamseySolutions.com. Completely free. We'll help you figure out the best next step for your financial journey based on exactly where you are today. RamseySolutions.com. Click Get Started. Our question of the day comes from Jacob in the Ramsey Baby Steps Millionaires group on Facebook.
He says this. He says, I'm 20 years old and I'm looking to buy a house within 6 months to a year. Besides having 20% down, what other tips would you recommend for a first-time home buyer? Also, is there anything that I need to look out for? I would say there's a couple of things to keep in mind. I think it's great that you're putting 20% down. We would say to do a deal where your payment is no more than 25% of your take home, and that's taxes, insurance, all included in a conventional loan. And I love that you're putting 20% down because then you can avoid PMI, which is private mortgage insurance, and it's just an additional cost there. But with 20% down, you can avoid that. But I feel like you're in pretty good shape. I mean, other than that, it sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, a couple of things. Good idea. Good question, by the way. 15-year fixed rate, 25% of your take home pay. Always, everyone, anytime you buy a piece of real estate, get title insurance, 100% of the time. anytime you're buying a piece of property that is not a traditional subdivision lot, meaning it's very, very predictable, always get a survey. So if you know, I bought 3 acres that turned out to be 1.75. You get a survey on it. Okay, now you got a standard subdivision lot that is pre-platted and has changed hands 3 or 4 times. You don't have to worry about that. It is what it is. But if you're buying something otherwise, get a survey, get title insurance, get a home inspection. Get a home inspection. You're 20 years old. You're not an expert on much of anything in that house, unless you just happen to be an electrician or something, and then you would be, right? But, get a home inspection, period. I've bought and sold several thousand pieces of real estate. I get a home inspection. Mm-hmm. Last house I bought, I got one, okay? I can go in there and scratch around in the crawl space and try to figure it out, but for what it costs, let somebody else do it, right? That's the thing. Don't buy a house that is a great price but is ugly from the street. First house I bought was that. I got a great deal, and this house was ugly from the street. There's no fixing ugly.
Yeah, that's
you can't
fix
ugly. Okay, it's just still going to be no. Well, we could. No, don't try to fix ugly. Ugly, you just look like had plastic surgery and you shouldn't have bothered. Oh, don't do it. You know, don't. You just can't fix it. Leave it alone.
Just don't.
It's not a good buy. Because if you get a good buy on it now, when you get ready to sell it, you know what you have? An ugly house. And you're going to give somebody else a good deal because nobody wants an ugly house. So that there's a reason it was cheap when you bought it, and there'll be a reason it's cheap when you sell it. So,
that's a good point.
And that's also true with the actual floor plan. I bought a house one time. No, actually, I didn't buy. I rented it one time that was a 4-bedroom. But to get to one of the bedrooms, you had to walk through the other bedroom.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible. Terrible.
We used to call these country-built houses where you just keep adding on. And you just go, yeah, well, there was actually no plan from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you've got no plan. So be careful with that kind of stuff. You can get excited, particularly on your first buy, and try to buy something that's a little bit boring.
That's good advice.
You know, don't try to like reinvent the world. I'm going to do a rehab. Oh, God, no.
Well, please. I mean, you could pick something that's got things that you can fix. Like if the carpet's super ugly, there's things that are outdated.
You can
change that. But
yeah, you can put the gutters up. That's
right,
fine. But don't
right.
tell me you got to change the whole. I got to tear out. Yeah. I got to add. No. Just boring means less risk going in and less risk going out. And so a nice little house with a little picket fence mm-hmm. and little bushes out front, and you look at it from the street and everybody goes, oh, that's cute. That's where you want to start.
What do you think about corner lots? Because when we bought in our neighborhood before we came here, we thought we had a good lot because we were on the corner by the gate. And for us, it was great. We thought, oh, we could take the dog out. It's easy access. But then when we got ready to sell, it sold for less.
Corner lots are a mixed blessing because generally corner lots present well from the street.
Right.
But you have no freaking backyard. You got this little tiny triangle back there where they crammed the house back inside at a 45. And so it depends on the subdivision, depends on the lot size,
right,
all those kinds of things. But generally speaking, you get a nice presentation from mm-hmm. the front, and then you're pinched in the back.
Yeah.
That's generally what you get. So watch for that. It's not the end of the world, but watch for that. Again, if you've got a concern when you're looking at it, know that the buyer, when you get ready to sell, it's going to have the same concern. So just don't get so excited you rationalize your way into stupidity. I know a guy who's done that a lot in his life, and that's how he has a radio show. So be careful. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Jason is up next in Detroit. Hey, Jason, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Dave, you and God have changed my life. So I appreciate all that you've done over the years. Pretty fortunate to live completely debt-free, including my house at 48 years old.
Way to go, dude.
And thanks. My wife and I have worked pretty hard to kind of get there financially. I've actually been in full-time ministry most of my adult life. And currently I am part-time on staff in a church, and then part-time I operate a food pantry. And I absolutely love my work. I love what I do. The issue that I struggle with a little bit is I hardly make any money being in two nonprofit situations. My wife's a school teacher and has been for 20 plus years, so she's kind of at the top of the income scale. We're doing all the things. We have zero debt. She has the pension, and then we've got some other investments and that sort of thing. But my question is, you know, with what I do, I take home a couple thousand bucks a month at this stage in the game, and I'm about 30 years into my career. And I guess I'm just trying to decide, is that okay for me?
Is it?
I don't. Well, I guess that's what
you're calling what about it, so you don't think it is.
Well, I just need some perspective. I love what I do, and I get to help people every day, and it's extremely rewarding work, and I could see myself doing it until I die. I want to die with my boots on, but without any debt and, you know, still being able to set aside, you know, funds for the future, I would love to make more money. But I just don't know if I'm ever going to find that in kind of the nonprofit world. So I guess I just was hoping for a little insight on that. Mm.
Well, you're obviously a good man. You're obviously a guy who loves to help people. You're pastoring. You're running a food pantry. You got a big old heart. And there's no question about that. 80% of pastors in North America are bivocational.
Mm-hmm.
They have a day job.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wild number.
Mm-hmm.
And did you start this food pantry?
I did not start it. However, I took it over and had to completely revamp it.
It's kind of yours. And, yeah, I thought so. I kind of smelled that the way you're talking about it. Yeah. There's nothing wrong spiritually, morally, ethically with what you're doing. Nothing wrong with that at all. There's also nothing wrong with exploring some other avenues that you could utilize that wonderful large heart of yours to help people, and in the process of serving them, you made more money. There's nothing wrong with that either. That's the seat I sit in. So, I mean, there's lots of ways you can help people and love people well, and they love paying you for it, by the way. So maybe a counseling ministry, maybe some other things you can add on. I don't know what it is, but I would look towards that kind of a thing. Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. Thank you for joining us, America. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Annie is next in Nashville. Hi, Annie. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Better than we deserve. How can we help?
So my husband and I are first-time home buyers. We just started the process, and I've been talking to a local mortgage broker, and he gave us some information on 30-year versus 15-year mortgages. We want to do the 15-year. We're trying to follow the plan. We have a sizable down payment. But he did say, which I thought this was kind of strange, I just don't understand this, that if we want the 15-year, we are required to do a rate buy-down to get like a little lower interest rate. So I just didn't know what that was. I'd never heard of that before. He said it would be about a point or point and a half to get the rate buy-down.
You need to call Churchill Mortgage and get with a new mortgage broker, okay? There are two things you can do to buy down rates. I think I'm hearing that he just wants you to pay points. That is not a true buy down. That's just points. Each point is 1% of the loan amount and will reduce your interest rate by about an eighth, between an eighth and a quarter, somewhere in there, but usually around an eighth of a percent, which means it takes you 8 years to recoup that. No, thank you. I'll pass. So paying points is not a good thing. And I'm pretty sure, by the way, that increases what goes in his pocket at the closing. That's why I'm rolling my eyes a bit here. I don't know if you can hear it over the radio, but I was. And so an actual buy down is like a 3-2-1 buy down. And it would be a 3% reduction the first year, or a 2-1 buy down, 2% reduction the first year, 1% reduction the second year, and then it goes on up to the regular rate. And all that is you're just giving yourself some money up front to subsidize yourself. Now, if the seller pays your 2-1 buy down, like in the old days when things were a little calmer than they are right now, a builder might pay for a 2-1 buy down. Okay, in other words, they would pay 2%. Pay the, you know, just at 0.02, right? What it's going to cost you to reduce the rate by 2%, and then 0.1. So it's going to cost them 3% out of pocket to do a 2-1 buy down, or 6% out of pocket to do a 3-2-1 buy down. If the seller pays that, that's free money. You got a deal, okay? But if you're going to pay for your own buy down, that's not as bad as points, but there's no reason to do it. Does that make sense? You understand the difference in what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Points are prepaid interest. Both of these are prepaid interest. Points are a form of prepaid interest, and 1 point will reduce the roughly an eighth of a percent APR for the life of the loan. A true buy down is just, it's a 2-1 buy down. You take your current rate, let's call it 6%. It'd be 4% the first year, 5% the second year, and 6% from then on. And you pay that difference up front at the closing, which you could have just done that for yourself if you're just swapping pockets. So actually, let me think about this then. If the seller's not paying it, we're going to do neither of these. Mm-hmm. That's the moral of the story.
Okay.
Is the seller paying it?
He acted like I was, to get the 15-year, this is something I would have to do.
Why?
Do a rate
15 years
now.
Is generally cheaper than a 30-year anyway. And are they saying you can't qualify?
So he said that the 30-year would be 6.875, and if I 15-year would be the same unless I did this rate buy down, then I could get like 6.5 or something.
That doesn't sound right.
New mortgage broker. New one.
Okay.
He just lost the business. Yeah. Because 15-year quoted at what we call a par quote, 0.0 origination, is always cheaper than a 30-year. Well, 90% of the time it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for you, you know, he's monkeying with you to put a line in his pocket. That's what I think. I'm not 100% sure, but having done about a bazillion of these, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I go to Church Hill, talk to them, and see if they give you the exact same thing. If they do, I'll shut up and say that I was wrong about the guy's character. But
when is it better to just make a larger down payment as opposed to attempting a 3-2-1?
The larger down payment doesn't reduce, well, it would reduce the payment, but it doesn't reduce it as much mathematically. It wouldn't because
I guess what I'm saying is there math that you need to do to find out what that point would be?
No, it's don't subsidize your own loan. Is the moral of the story. Both of them are a form of subsidizing your own interest rate.
Prepaying it.
By prepaying it in their different forms, points or buy downs. Mm-hmm. So if the seller is paying points or the seller is paying a buy down, that's different.
Right.
And all things being equal, meaning no points, no origination, which is called a par quote, your 30 should match your 15 should be a little bit less. It should be a quarter of a point, half a point less. On your APR. Generally speaking, it is. Now, there might be a glitch in the environment at this moment in the bond market that's doing that. I'm not 100% sure, but most of the time throughout 30, almost 40 years of being in the real estate and around real estate business, that's what my experience has been. So But double check. You need to get another quote. I just smell. It doesn't smell.
It doesn't smell right. That's all right, Dave.
Just leave it at that. All right. Jake is in Milwaukee. Hi, Jake. How are you?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Jade.
Hi.
I'm on baby step two. And I'm kind of in a little situation where I don't know how much I owe. My father passed in 2016, and he didn't have a will. The only thing he ever did, he told me, is that he was going to set me as the beneficiary, and if anything happened, that, you know, I would have to take care of it for my sister, for myself and my sister. So he's only ever told me that verbally. And, well, when he passed, we got $200,000 in a policy, and it's coming up. I've been paying my sister monthly so she can go and finish school debt-free, which she has now graduated. And so there's about $5,000 left on just the half, so $95,000 paid. And I kind of don't know how much more I owe her, because all the things I've done with the money have been kind of commingled with my own finances.
Well, you certainly owe her the $5,000, right? Because that totals $100,000.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, then have you invested the money during this time?
I did. I've invested in $100,000 of it in real estate.
Okay, that would be your $100,000.
And then I invested others in parts and stocks.
Well, okay.
I would have done better with your four fund portfolio, but I've actually lost money on the part I invested in stocks.
I don't know what you owe her. You don't owe her anything legally.
No,
morally, you told your dad morally. She would get half the money. So we know she's getting the $5,000. Even if you screwed around and lost some of her half, then you would still cover that $5,000 morally if you're doing what your dad asked you to do, right?
Yeah.
So how much money have you made on the real estate?
On paper, I mean, before, you know, selling fees and all that, it's probably like $75,000.
Okay. What do you make a year?
Actually, I make about that, $75,000.
What do you think the right thing to do is? Hello?
I mean, probably just cut that in half and give her half of that.
Yeah,
but
I think you invested your half into real estate personally. I think you lost some of her half. So I think you cover the $5,000, and if you want to throw another $10,000 on there for fun to make you feel better, that's fine. But I don't think you owe her anything much more than that. And I'm certainly not going to have to sell the real estate to get her half out of that. That's so convoluted and wicked. No, thank you. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. Our 2023 live event schedule is jam-packed and sold out coast to coast, baby. Hey, man, we've had a blast. We were just in Indianapolis and then over in Austin, Texas. April 24th, we'll be in Salt Lake City, Utah with Rachel Cruz, George Camel, Christina Ellis, and me. May 2nd will be Jade Warshaw. No, that's Christina Ellis. You did the first two.
That's right.
It. Okay. May 2nd, Anaheim, California, Dr. John Deloney, Ken Coleman, Christina Ellis, and me. And Smart Conference is back, and we're going to kick it up a notch with a full weekend here at Nashville. This will be the inaugural event at the Ramsey Event Center,
whoop.
Where they're putting the final touches up there today, putting bushes down and rolling out the sod, and which is kind of like rolling out gold. And it's going to be awesome. And we have the Money and Marriage. By the way, that's April 14th and 15th. There's a few tickets left. RamseySolutions.com events for all of these. Salt Lake City, Anaheim, Nashville for Smart Conference here on our campus. The Money and Marriage Getaway, a chance for you and your spouse to disconnect from everyday life. Spend a few days focusing on your marriage. That'll be here in Nashville. October 19th through 21, Dr. John Deloney and Rachel Cruz. Make your plans to get to all of these. Don't miss any of them. RamseySolutions.com/events.
Good stuff.
All right, Dave. Note to everyone that is over 18 and breathing, do not leave verbal instructions to your heirs. Do a will. It's the responsible adult thing to do. Do a will. Go to mamabearlegalforms.com, get you a will. State specific, do a will. If you have moved states, you need a new will because state law handles your estate. So you need to do a will. If you hate your relatives, leave a large estate with mixed instructions verbally to all of them. They will spend the next 25 years of their life fighting. This is how you can screw up a family.
Oh, yeah.
How you can screw up and leave your son feeling guilty for not having properly taken care of his little sister because he didn't have good instructions.
Just split it with her. I'm not going to do a will.
Oh, you're killing me.
And can I take it a step further? Can you talk to your family members about the will?
Hello. Do a reading of the will.
Do a reading
while you're
of
alive.
The will.
If you're going to piss someone off, do it while you're alive.
Please.
You're doing cocaine, Junior. You're out of the will. Go ahead and tell them that. Maybe they'll get off the cocaine. Who knew? You know? So, yeah, we do not leave inheritance to heroin addicts. And so I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Susie. You're not in the will.
But Dave, can I just say, as this generation talking to my parents and our generation of people talking to our parents, they don't want to talk to us about money.
I know.
We can ask, hey, mom, dad, you know, I'm trying to plan. I want to know about long-term care. I want to know about your will. I want to know. And they don't want to tell us what's going on.
I know. And I'm yelling at them right now.
Yeah. Let them know.
You're talking to my generation, I guess. Hey, my generation, you're being stupid. Do a will. 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 I don't care what you do with your money. It's your money. But do it on purpose. Live an act of diligence, an act of intentionality. Keep the government's hands off of it. It gets so convoluted and screwed up. The lawyers end up with everything, and people end up pissed off for decades over a piece of furniture. Mama said you were going to leave that to her. Oh, gee.
Yep.
It's a piece of, come on. Leave it. Do a will. Do a will, do a will, do a will, do a will, do a will.
It's easy.
And my wife actually cornered me on this the other day because I've got a very detailed estate plan. We have the update on the estate plan every year, a meeting with my whole family and my leadership team here at Ramsey. And this is what happens if Dave dies this year. I call it the Monty Python meeting. I'm feeling much better. It's just a flesh wound. Yeah. So, but it's awkward as crud to do this meeting. You know,
I'm here. I'm okay. I'm right here in the corner.
No, this is what happens if Dave dies this year, right? So, but I hadn't done it. Like, I have an antique water ski collection. I have
interesting.
I have a gun collection.
Okay.
I have too many cars. And Sharon the other day goes, what do you want me to do with all that crap? And I'm like, I don't know. Do whatever you want to with it. She goes, Dave Ramsey says have a plan.
It's not in, you don't have it.
So
it's not a directive.
I had to write up a document, not
there
to do with
go.
The will, but just say, here's what you do with the water skis, here's what you do with the cars, and here's what you do with the guns, and here's who you call, and which of our kids can help you with that process. And because she wouldn't even, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Look, I'm not mad at that.
No,
I feel like
that
should be
a good call.
That's a good call.
A good call. I mean, she called me out on my own stuff. So there you go. Do a will.
Do a will.
All right. Kareem is with us in Tampa. Hi, Kareem. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi. Your wife sounds like a very smart woman.
Yeah. We've known that for a very long time, and I'm the one doing the show. So how can I help?
Well, I'm really looking forward to listening to your great advice. But right a little bit first, I just wanted to mention my big brother, Gil, because he's the one that turned me on to listening to your podcast. And he followed your plan and to become debt-free. And he is on his way to becoming a millionaire. So
wow!
Way to go, Gil. Way to go, Gil.
Way to go, Gil. He's listening, so I'm sure he's excited.
Yay, Gil.
All right, so my question, this is the good stuff. All right, so we have an investment property, okay? It's a condo. We owe about $250,000 on the condo, and it's worth about $1.3 million.
Ooh, and wow.
I hate it when that happens.
I know, it's wonderful. You know, Tampa is booming right now, so we're really lucky to have come in right before. And the idea is this. We bought the condo at $350,000. So our capital gains is going to be extremely high. It's going to be in the millions.
No.
And we don't know what to do because in a year and a half, our five-year ARM ends, and we're going to have to renegotiate our interest rate. And right now, our interest rate is 3%, and we are terrified to find out what the interest rate is going to be. So we don't know what to do with this. Do we do a 1031? We also owe about $900,000 on our current home, and our home rate right now is at 2.65%. So what do we do? What do we do? There's so many options. What's the best option?
Well, you've done very well on it. Congratulations. That's fabulous. If you do sell it, your capital gains rate will be 15% unless you're making over $450,000 household income, are you?
Yeah, it's going to be 20. Yeah,
okay. So 20% on probably over $1 million. So it's going to be $200,000, $215,000, somewhere in there.
Exactly.
That's your taxes to sell it. If you do that, you pay off your house. That's one option, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you won't quite have enough to pay off your house, but you probably have some other money. That'd be a cool option. Obviously, a 1031 defers those gains. It's a trading for another property. If your only reason for doing that is to avoid the fear of the mortgage, how much money do you have?
Mm-hmm. In terms of cash flow or
Let me ask two questions. How much cash do you have, not counting retirement? Cash and investments, non-retirement.
Okay, so we have, I would say, total, about $200,000.
Okay. And what's your household income?
About $500,000.
Okay. So if you want to keep this, just pay it off.
I should just pay off the condo?
Yeah. And then you don't have to worry about the five. Because I'm worried about the 5 years. It's kind of funny because you make $500,000 a year and you only have a $250,000 mortgage.
No, I'm not worried.
I mean, it's not. There's nothing. You said you were. You said you were. I'm freaked about the interest rates. I got a call coming. You have a 5 year call, right? I mean, you have 5 years to make the decision. So, sometime in the next 5 years, preferably the next 18 months.
No, 1 year. I have 1 year. 1 year.
Oh, I misunderstood.
I did too.
I thought you said it.
No. It's our 5 year ARM is ending in a year.
Oh, and is it going to adjust or is it going? Is it a call?
It's going to adjust, right?
I think it's going to be, it's going to be adjusting.
Oh, it's just an adjustment. So that's not the end of the world. But I would pay it off.
I
would try to pay it off and keep it if you like it. If you like the property, the cleanest thing is just pay it off and keep it. I wouldn't be motivated to sell it by the mortgage, not with your income and your cash. And I think you like it.
It sounds like she does.
They like
the area.
I kind of like it.
It's done well for them.
It's been sweet. But it's just up to you. I mean, if you're going to keep it, if the only thing driving this is the mortgage, just pay the mortgage off in the next year. You can do that. This is The Ramsey Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jade. If you love the show and want a deeper dive on your money journey, we have a weekly newsletter that gives you trending and helpful articles and tips on following the Ramsey way. Just go to RamseySolutions.com today to sign up for our newsletter. Again, that's RamseySolutions.com to sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.